Bolt, after I give my report this afternoon, and I'm sorry for that.
Okay, Stephen, thank you for letting us know that.
And this
Any
is
other?
Laura. Yeah, this is Laura. I'm gonna have to leave at 4 for another meeting, depending on how long this goes.
Okay, Laura, thank you. Laura and Stephen. Anyone else? Any announcements?
Hi, this is Beth from HIV Health Services, just that I'm joining. Sorry that I'm late.
Hi, Beth, welcome.
Thank you.
And if there's no further announcements, now it's time for our public comment. Do we have any public comment to the community engagement group?
So Nick, if you'd like to elaborate or give any information of any additional information, now would be the appropriate time. Also, if you'd like to pass off any contact info for people who would like to follow up with you.
Sure. Thanks. Thank you again. I work for Optum, so I have special insight into anybody who has Optum insurances. If they're having issues with a deductible, a copay card, a prior authorization, all of those things, I can kind of cut through the BS and get straight to the point. You won't have to call 1-800 numbers and wait on hold forever, talk to people who don't know what they're talking about, get straight to someone who can get you the answers that you and the patient are looking for. I can also assist with all types of insurances. It doesn't have to be Optum. I just have special privileges for Optum insured patients. I'm a pharmacist, been working with the HIV medications for over 9 years. I'm excited to see if anybody has any comment on the new HIV treatment Cabenuva that was just approved. I gave the internal clinical information meeting. So I feel like I know quite a bit about the new medicine. My phone number, in case anybody wants to get a hold of me, I wrote my email and phone number on the chat, 916-216-5617. And then my email, nick.vangrodigan@optum.com.
Nick, I took note of your email and your telephone number as well. Thanks a lot. Is there any information that we could look at about Optum Health or pharmacy? Do you have a website or anything like this?
Of course. Yeah, specialty.optumrx.com. I can type that here as well. The specialty stuff is going to be not solely HIV driven, but if you wanted some flyers and things like that, then I can email you those directly.
Great. Thank you.
I don't know if this is an appropriate time to ask a question. Is that okay to ask, Nick?
No? I'm okay if the meeting leaders are okay with it.
I feel like I want to step in at this point, and this doesn't, I'm not quite sure what the right energy is. I'll say appropriate. But I prefer not to have a dialogue going on in this particular setting.
Yeah.
If that makes
sense.
So
from a process perspective, generally for public comment, we don't allow a lot of back and forth discourse. It's more of a sort of one way informational situation. But the idea was that he could sort of put his contact out there, and then anyone wanted to follow up for more information could follow up at that time.
Totally fine. That's exactly why I asked. Thank you.
Excellent. I invite if you want to, anybody can text me, email me, give me a call. I'm open to all forms of communication.
Thanks, Nick.
Thank you.
And thank you, David and Kevin. I needed to hear that too. That's good knowledge for me about that interchange. So thank you, Nick. And so I think it's time for Steve and Spano, the HCAP report. So, Stephen, let's move on. Let's take a look at the HCAP report. And I think at this point, when you do that, if I'm correct, you can handle any back and forth that comes your way, right, Stephen?
there's time for discussion during my report, but
sure.
I think you have mentors that are much more versed in the rules than I am, than the committee rules.
Yeah, it looks like we're ready for the HCAP report, and when the time comes, you can handle the back and forth.
Excellent, of course. So, thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here, Richard and Derek. Thanks for manning the helm. I want to call attention to page 2 of my report this month, and I want to apologize. In my final, as I was going through it today, I realized that this was actually not updated, and I don't want to misadvise anybody. At the very end, the service provider has not been responsive to requests for a meeting. That's not true any longer. There was some delays, but and there's been some back and forth, and there have been delays, but that's been pretty common amongst all the service providers recently. So I apologize for that. I'll change that, and it will reflect on my report next month. So I'm sorry. There's not any real glaring issues. Obviously, the contract year started, so I'm like transferring everything over, and there will be a full comprehensive report. I believe I'm scheduled for April to give a comprehensive report to the planning council, the full council. I'll call attention to one issue that is kind of coming up that I think is interesting to talk about, because we've been having discussions recently about building management being different than the housing services that are provided, those differences are even a little bit more intertwined when you talk about something like substance use or residential substance use programs, because they're so closely melded and so closely related with one another. And this is an interesting issue because in some instances, in this instance, a client was requested to give a self-discharge date, which from an attorney, from a legal perspective, one has to wonder whether or not that is, basically providing notice that you intend to leave. I know that there's a lot of flux within those systems, but in this instance, I was able to speak with the service provider and get some confirmation that the therapeutic goal of leaving the program would not result in an eviction or a discharge to homelessness, which is obviously a major concern for us and for people living with HIV. We know from previous reports to the Planning Council that I think it's something like, I think it's 40% of people are discharged from substance use residential treatment to the homelessness, which is just really unmanageable. It shouldn't and not safe. I think this is a small success for our client to receive that kind of comfort level, to know that, they're, even if they're working toward a goal and fail to meet it, that they're not going to be evicted. There's some other issues that have been just ongoing. I'll be honest, I think between the efforts that I've noticed for organizations to become vaccinated and those frontline workers trying to make sure that they're safe to be able to provide services, I've seen a delay in response times. Clients are being extremely patient with it. Consumers are being extremely patient with it. Service providers are picking up the ball for the most part, and I feel things are moving slowly, but they are moving on. So, I'll leave it open to any questions for anybody who saw something that they were particularly curious about.
Is that no questions, folks?
Hi, this is Derek. I do have a question, but I would rather if we could discuss it one-on-one. Is that possible, Stefan?
Absolutely. I'll put my contact information in the chat just in case you don't have it. And then you can email me and we can set up a time to talk either tomorrow or later this afternoon. Well, tomorrow's probably better.
Right. Thank you. And thank you, Stefan, for your presentation.
Of course.
All right. Stopping sharing. Thanks, Stephen.
So, if I'm not mistaken, it looks like we're moving a little fast today. Is this the time for needs assessment and COLA targets? Okay, so with that, I would turn it over to staff, correct?
That's me.
Thank you, Dave.
So this is maybe where the meeting slows down. Mark, you have your hand up? No, you don't. Sorry, that was something on my screen, not in Zoom. Zoom meetings. If I could remind everyone where we were last month around this, or for those of you who have not been part of this conversation in the past, we are looking to choose a target population for this upcoming year's needs assessment, as well as COLA targets. The way it often works is that we, or has worked in the past, but you do not have to continue to follow this if you choose not to, is that we sort of look at a group of likely target populations and have a conversation, choose one of them for the needs assessment. In the past, sometimes, the runners-up have become COLAs, although very recently what has been chosen was to select much smaller and more pertinent subgroups of larger groups. So, for instance, the year before last, women were a target, were a potential target for the needs assessment, and it was chosen at that time to do three different subgroups of women as COLA targets, so as to sort of maximize the specificity and depth of information we got out of the COLAs, which is kind of the strength. So that said, this past year we did youth as our target. It was not the most successful, but I think much of, I would say 2020 was not the most successful year in general. So the early in the year, we had focused on Latinx, but we'd reassessed when we came back on Zoom during quarantine, and it was determined that we would switch focus from Latinx to youth with the idea that we might push Latinx to 2021. With the idea that hopefully we would no longer be quarantined and we could actually do that fairly significant portion of the HIV epidemic locally in person, or at least have a better access to them. So that was sort of on the table in our last month's discussion. Although a couple other ideas were thrown out there, as Ben noted in the chat. There was a couple different suggestions that were sort of linked. One of them was mental health as related to COVID. I believe Lee maybe suggested something more along the lines of a comprehensive sort of something more closer to comprehensive HIV consumers of services as related to COVID specific challenges. As opposed to just mental health. And I feel like there were a couple other ideas that were thrown out there, but those are the ones that really stuck with me. What does the group think? Oh, sorry. Also, one additional thing is, I know that 2020 has been a specifically very challenging mental health year for a lot of people. That said, we did do a fairly large scale mental health focused needs assessments 2 or 3 years ago. So it would be a topic that we'd be revisiting pretty rapidly if that's where we chose to go. That is not a disqualifier, just laying that out there. Thoughts?
Hey, Dave, thanks for saying what you said. Yeah, I think if it was a normal year, I would think that we shouldn't consider anything around mental health, but this is a very specific situation that we're living through that's gonna have impact for a very long time with clients. So that's why I put it forth last month at the meeting. So I would still be in favor of doing it.
Other thoughts? Thank you, TJ.
I agree. I think isolation and our exploration of isolation has different meaning this year than it has in the past when we've explored, you know, dimensions of isolation. I think even just from Stephen's report, him stating that clients have been patient with service providers is an interesting perspective that he has, and I'd like to learn more about why folks have been patient and why not the opposite. So I think there's something there.
I would agree. Ben, you changed your look again. I just can't let it go. What happened to the stash? What happened to the hair? Okay, I got it out of my system. The overdose component as well. So I feel like the overdoses that have been so high this year are definitely an indication of mental health stuff as well. So yeah, I feel like that we could pull it all together.
I'd like to chime in too on both of those are excellent, like the overdose crisis that's going on. And mental health seems to be just leaping off the streets right now. It's up front and center. But how would that be shaped? It's just saying mental health is a very broad term, and that would be mammoth to try. How would Dave and them go about pinning that down into specifics? But I think it's an excellent target. Just it's a pretty broad painting right now.
Thanks, Richard. I'll answer that in just a second. But Lily has her hand up, and then I will address that.
Thanks, Dave. Just speaking in my experience, in my work, I think another issue related to mental health that really stands out to me is issues of access, and how COVID has really highlighted that. I mean, in so many ways, right? But I think about how clients need to have access to a phone or a reliable internet connection in order to engage in most of the mental health services that exist. And then I also think there are implications kind of longer term for how mental health services are provided and making, so there's sort of like two sides to this. One is that maybe remote services have not been as accessible for some folks. And then for other folks, it's actually helped them to engage, whereas going somewhere for a separate appointment has been a barrier or a challenge in the past. And so I just think there might be some really useful information there that could inform mental health services moving forward.
Thanks, Lily. So I would again suggest that, well, to sort of discuss what Richard was saying, and also weigh in on the topic at hand. So if you, those of you who have taken part in the process of developing methods and strategies around how we do the needs assessment, which I believe is most of you at this point, you'll remember that issues of substance use and mental health are always a big part of what is inclusive within the needs assessment. Specifically in the survey, there are multiple questions and follow-up questions regarding those issues specifically. And I as far as like how would we sort of approach that, I think that we approach it in sort of kind of what Lily was saying, and a lot of what I'm hearing from Stephen is, yeah, it's a mental health issue, but it's a mental health issue that is so very much informed by the isolation that's inherent in what everybody's been dealing with over the last year, but also things like access, like the sort of anxiety and stress of having to deal with scarcity or potential scarcity, the very real sort of experiences of people who aren't able to quarantine during this last year when some are. And I think what I'm really hearing is things, for instance, like Stephen has often mentioned, is how people who are living in supportive housing or just SROs and things like that, how that has changed their ability to access services. And so that's very connected to housing. What this says to me is this is assessing the group of people who are accessing this funding. To just focus it on mental health would maybe be really missing a lot of the component constituent parts, especially since mental health is such a large part of the needs assessment on a consistent basis. It really does feel to me like the way we should be approaching this is how have people managed and are continuing to manage the challenges related to COVID and all of those associated difficulties, such as access, such as, you know, sickness. I mean, there are people who have survived COVID or have had partners or friends or family who have not survived COVID. Those are all things we want to figure out a way to address. And I think just sort of settling in on the sort of depression, isolation, and mental health component of that is it is maybe just missing some of the causative and correlative issues around what people are really dealing with. My sense is when we get out there and the rubber hits the road, people are going to want to talk about things that are not related to mental health as their larger challenges potentially. So that's why I maybe don't want to sort of narrowly focus it. And we generally, as Richard said, we generally don't approach such a large group. I mean, we have done, as I said, mental health specifically just 2 or 3 years ago, if memory serves, it might've been just two years ago, whatever. And that was a large group, and that was sort of the outreach for that and sort of figuring out how we parse that large group into subgroups was really part of the challenge. This I think is also going to be a very large, near comprehensive level outreach effort, because nobody has not been affected by COVID. Nobody who is dealing with, no consumer of HIV services who would be applicable for this needs assessment hasn't had some challenge related to COVID, and likely some challenge related to mental health, potentially substance access, housing, all of the things we've been discussing since this all started.
Hey folks, so, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Derek.
I just wanted to put my two cents into this because I really like what Dave was saying, though I would also challenge the idea that when you're talking about mental health, that it is such an incredibly broad topic that it is inclusive of everything that gets discussed. Like you can't discuss any topic without some mental health component to it, truly, you know, some sort of psychosocial or emotional basis to it. And for instance, I keep on thinking that while the COVID pandemic has touched everyone, there have been other sociological concerns and you know, co-pandemics that have been going on that have been just as impactful in people's lives that has been sort of carried along with the COVID pandemic, that have led to people not just in terms of the issues around problems of isolation, but have had great impact on people's mental health. And in this case, I'm talking about, for instance, the political unrest, the social unrest that have been happening across the country, along with the pandemic. And so I think when we talk about mental health concerns, all of those things are bound to come up as well, and not just the COVID pandemic. Though I know for lots of reasons, the thing that is most accessible to a group such as this would be, you know, how is the COVID pandemic affecting our folks? So I kind of, but I agree with you, like this will be, this feels like a large undertaking during this time, because so much is included into it.
Dave?
Yes.
I had something. The part you mentioned about when you actually get out there and the rubber hits the road and people are going to be wanting to talk about a variety of issues. Let me see if I can say this right. So seeing how everything's in the rebuilding stage in COVID, and this might be our first foray back into the water, I don't know the title you'd put on it, but does it have to be, could you do something like you were mentioning, just see where the chips lie in a cola, and then that would maybe give us a basis for the next one? I know that's pretty broad itself, but how would you form that? Just because people are going to be coming with so many needs, maybe wait it out and get the weight of it. See, can you set up a cola that like talks about that? Like not a specific target, just, I don't know, fan out there. And like you said, the rubber hits the road and people are going to be coming with a lot of different issues, and then balance, weigh those as a form for, maybe this isn't a definitive goal of this next one. Everything's been shot. It's a rebuilding stage. And maybe there isn't a target group to pin down on this. Maybe there's just broad feedback that's necessary.
I mean, that is, broad feedback is in essence what I'm suggesting. And as far as I think the reason I'm thinking about it in these terms is that we have to think about what our end product looks like, and what is the utility of actually having completed the needs assessment beyond meeting sort of checking the HRSA box of having done it. What is the data we come out of it? And when we do these needs assessments, specifically when we are focusing on we try to align our target with a target that is definable within funding categories or specific to how services are funded. And so, for instance, when we have done things like focused on substance use, we're looking at substance use service categories and how those things are funded. And we know that under Ryan White, substance use is funding is sort of pretty marginal, but it is connected to a lot of other different categories and a lot of other different issues that are funded through such as mental health and housing and so forth. So it is not just sort of a examination of the funding stream and how those things can be improved. When we did the mental health needs assessment a few years ago, because that is a very clear-cut funding category that you as council members are looking at and exactly how we're funding it, it was really approached in sort of a straightforward, like, this is what, you know, what are we missing? What is not being what needs are not being met, and how can we improve in efficiency and so forth. In this year, because it is going to be such an outlier for any of those things, like we're not necessarily going to be thinking about how we fund mental health as a service category just based on 2020. Although I think there's a lot of lessons learned that can really inform how things are approached, especially lack of access and isolation and so forth. So my thought around it is that yes, there. If we did something that is sort of a little broader, it would allow us to have a better idea of the intention would be to assess what is the all of the service categories in total, what is their capacity to address and bounce back from the 2020, and what are the lessons learned. And what was that experience like for consumers of services? I think that is the thing that has utility for us, and utility potentially for DPH, is for us to say, this is how our consumers experienced what happened. These are the things that we're lacking. These are the things that were effective. These are the things that have yet to snap back into place. And I think that goes beyond just mental health services.
Exactly.
That said, eventually you will have to, somebody will need to make a motion and second it with specific wording around what we are going to do. And beyond that, we should be thinking about how our COLAs, maybe not a full three, but maybe just two this year, although it is truly up to you, potentially inform that and... Or are they can be completely separate. But what subgroups, what smaller groups are we looking at? And maybe that's a place to address some of those issues around, like that we've been hearing from Stephen. We can look at the HCAP report and what are the things we hear over and over again, like people who are living in supportive housing but haven't been able to access their meds or things like that. That's a COLA topic potentially. Or people who, substance users, something around overdose and some of those issues that we've been hearing a lot. So we should really be thinking about what are those smaller subgroups that we've heard a lot that maybe need a little more specific focus. And that also helps inform the larger focus.
So are we asking for, so what is the question that we're asking for a first and a second to?
You don't have to do it now, but eventually we'll need to get there. It is more helpful to sort of identify all of the targets before sort of settling on one, or you can settle on a needs assessment and then shift the conversation over to what the COLA targets are. So if you feel like there is consensus in the room about what the target should be, you can make a motion. Any one of you who is a member of the committee can make a motion about what you want that target to be, and then it's up for a vote after you have a second.
The target for the needs assessment, right, Dave? That's what I'm hearing. Okay.
Yes, sir.
So it sounds like we're all, if I'm summarizing right, that we're in a space of mental health, but we're specifically around, we're trying to frame that, right?
Right.
And that's the discussion point. So how narrow should we go and how broad should we go specifically with regards to COVID and how people have been impacted, either accessing services or what it might be. Is that right? Okay, I just want to make sure that I was following.
That is partially, I think, what we're hearing. But if do people, after my strong appeal to broaden the topic away from mental health towards a more inclusive needs assessment, still feel like mental health is the direction they want to go, or are you sort of focused on mental health as the sort of primary target?
So Dave, do you have a possible question you want to put forward, or you know, a topic forward for us? Because it seems like you might have one, and maybe that helps us either stay with mental health or helps us look at something else that we're not looking at.
My recommendation would firmly be something very broad in terms of actual title, along the lines of, you know, HIV positive people in San Francisco's experience with COVID related challenges. Something that, you know, we can always, the thing is, it's, in my perspective, it's always better to start broad, because that gives us the best, the way we are able to utilize the data is to get a swath of data that with sort of careful survey questions and as a context and some depth around the qualitative piece, we can sort of cross compare all of those identifiers. So we're demographic identifiers, geographic identifiers, answering questions around substance use, incarceration, housing, mental health. All of those are sort of standard boilerplate things that are included in the needs assessment survey. So we are going to be able to see of all of the people that we interview who had challenges with mental health. I'm guessing almost all. I mean, in an average year when asking that question, generally that is above.